so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson here with Tim Marks on the board, Gracie on the phone lines, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Welcome, welcome to Live the Promise. So glad you joined us today. A very happy Monday to you. Glad to be back in the saddle. I was out for a couple days, so you didn't know it because we had some great shows there for you, but spoke at Bridging the Gap conference this weekend, and I just have to say the Lord showed up in mighty ways and getting all kinds of testimonies of women set free from fears and from insecurity, and just many women said it was a game changer for them, and we're just thanking the Lord for the way that he honored us with his presence. Boy, it was great. So I want to tell you about a couple programs we've got coming up, because we've got a fun week ahead. Wednesday is our prayer and praise day, and so we want to hear your prayer requests. We want to pray with you, stand with you in prayer. We want to hear the ways the Lord has come through for you. So be ready for that on Wednesday. You're going to be calling in, and I'll have two short interviews to share with you, one interview with Michael W. Smith and one with Dr. Charles Stanley. And then on Friday, our Mother's Day special. I've got my friend and author Kendra Smiley coming in, or she'll be on the line, but she's so funny, and she's a great author, great parenting expert, and together we're going to take your calls and hear your mom's stories, and it's going to be one of our giveaway shows. We'll have two gift baskets to give away to some of the best stories. So it can be funny, heartfelt. It can make us cry. It can make us laugh. We want to hear a cool mom story. If you're a mom, you can tell us something funny. One of your children said, I say, if you're a dude, it's got to involve a mom. Just the way it is. But they're girly presents, girly gift baskets. So it's nothing like you would want, Tim. So.
Well, but you can give it to somebody else. You
That's
can give
right.
it to your wife or your girlfriend or
so,
your
yeah.
fiance.
Yeah. yeah. So you would do well to call in and
right.
tell us a mom story or
mm-hmm.
whatever, funny kid story. So that's on Friday. So we want you to be ready, and we're going to have a couple of fun gift baskets to give away. Well, we've got a great show for you today. There's kind of a theme. We have two guests today, and both of them have been called by God to impact their community in significant ways. And, you know, here at Live the Promise, this is what we're all about: deeper life in Christ, powerful life on earth. Our shows are consistently about helping you develop an intimate walk with the Lord, a real, true relationship, not just religion. But that would translate that in you being the hands and feet of Christ in your world. And so you're going to hear from two people who live it out totally different ways, but are both very serious about the call of God on their lives. Joining me in studio is Chris McFarland. He joined the Pulse team in November of 2010 after 7 years with the Luis Palau Association. Chris was a festival director for evangelist Luis Palau in the U.S., starting with the Palau Association in the Twin Cities in 2003. He moved on then to direct Orlando, Florida, Nashville, Tennessee, Portland, Oregon, and San Diego, California. In each city, Chris has built a team from the ground up, overseeing all operations of the year-long process from budget formation, fundraising, civic relations, church relations, and ultimately setting the stage for over 500,000 people to hear the gospel. That's how God has used his organizational skills to set up the table that 500,000 people could hear the gospel. He now stands as the executive director of Pulse, bringing strong leadership and a gift of vision implementation to the growing ministry founded by Nick Hall. Since Chris has come to Pulse, has increased in size and effectiveness and is mobilizing quickly to reach more college students than ever before. Chris currently lives in Minneapolis with his wife of 12 years, Jamie, and their 14-month-old daughter, Ellie, and their 4-month-old son, Lincoln. Welcome to the show, Chris. Glad to have you with us today.
Thank you. It's great to be with you today.
Great to have you in studio. Did I say your daughter's name? Is it Elle or Ellie?
It's Elle.
Elle. That's so sweet. Sorry yeah. about that.
No, that's okay.
So you're in town. I mean, you live here, but you're prepping for a regional event, and it's coming up on Thursday, and I want you to tell us all about it.
Yeah, Thursday, May 5th, Unite on the National Day of Prayer. We are coming together at Mariucci Arena at the University of Minnesota campus. We're hoping that anybody and everybody would come. This is for all generations to unite around our campuses and around what God is doing on the campus today. You know, there's a significant move of God going on in our college students. You know, if you look back through the generations and you actually study history and you study where revival and where things like that have come from, it's consistently through the young people of a generation. We believe that even though this is one of the least church generations, that God is raising up a powerful move through these students. And this is our opportunity to come alongside of them, to pray, to worship, to press in and ask God to do something significant right here at the University of Minnesota campus to kick it off. But the idea is it's going to go, obviously, regional, which is what this is, but national, and see something even greater. And I think we all know that God is consistently at work every day, but that there seems to be something even more significant, whether it's in this season, in this time, we see things happening more and more quickly. I know on the college campuses, we're seeing that. And so we have a great program. We've got partners like Moms in Touch founder Fern Nichols will be here. So it's for those moms out there. It's for those moms who have kids that are 1, 2, 3 years old and they want to start praying for their kids now for when they get to college, or maybe your parents and you have students in college now. Maybe you even just know somebody in college. And then this is for the students as well, to come out, to recognize that there isn't some passing of the baton from the older generation saying, you got to earn your stripes, you know, for us to come alongside of you. But instead, this older generation is coming alongside and saying, can we pray with you? Can we pray for you and have an impact and ask God to do something significant on your campus amongst your student body? And so Thursday night at 7 o'clock, we'll kick that off. And it's just been a great, great foundation built with these partners. We're going to move through the evening with United Twin Cities worship team, which is going to consist of worship leaders from multiple churches from the area working as one, which I think is going to just honor Christ in a very unique and exciting way. And then we will have obviously significant amounts of prayer time where we can press in with one another, with the person who's leading it from the front. And the night will culminate then with Leland leading us in worship in a time of just kind of gathering and celebration, really, as we culminate the evening.
Wow, it sounds like a powerful night. You know, even those who maybe who don't have college kids but care about this nation, because these college kids are our future leaders, you know. And we've talked about to experts numerous times on this show about the exodus of 20-somethings leaving the faith. And what's been so interesting is there's many leaving the faith. There's others that are rising up with a red-hot passion for God. And it really does seem to be a day of acceleration. So if there's ever a time to come together to be praying for our college-age kids, no matter who you are, this would be a great event to do so.
Absolutely. It really is a time to come along, because if you think of the people who are entering college today, as you mentioned, they are our future politicians. They're going to be our governors. They're going to be your doctor. They're going to be the people who teach your children. These are the students right now who will engage your children in the future. They will start setting laws. They will set policies and things that will affect all of us as we move forward. And so this is the opportunity to come alongside of them and to really press in.
And it's such an urgent time. I feel like the hour is very, you know, ripe for this. And so I really love that God has, you know, birthed this ministry. So tell us, how did these Unite events even start? What was the heart behind them?
Unite was a vision of Nick's, who founded Pulse, to really engage the college community in prayer and worship. The college students today are hungry to press into God. They believe that God is moving. They are hearing from God. They desire to commune with Him in deeper and more spiritual ways, just meaning that they want to worship more and they want to pray more, most simply. And so it really launched actually last fall, and we have been holding Unite events at First Covenant Church, where we office, throughout the year. And it's going to culminate in May here at Mariucci Arena. And it really is, you know, you're talking a little bit about the students, how so many of them are leaving the faith. But yet there's this other sector, too, where they are pressing in deeper than we could possibly imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Their faith is stronger than even I at 35 could imagine. And I'm not even that far removed. And I just watch these kids powerfully go after God and say, we want your heart, not ours. Your will be done, not ours. And they do this on a consistent basis. And so Unite is a venue, an opportunity for these students to come together and to do that and to seek the heart of God and say, God, what is your heart? You know, ruin us for you so that, God, all we ever want to do is reach out and follow you. So we're seeing that happen, and Unite started with that purpose in mind, really has just been going this year with the anticipation of starting it again in the fall when college picks back up, and that continuation of pressing in.
So you're going to really see cross-generational representation there. We were just at this conference, Bridging the Gap, that we just did this weekend, to see multi-denominational, multi-ethnicity representation, multi-generational, all of us worshiping together, young girls, grandmas, you know. I mean, it was so powerful to be crossing those lines. And I feel like, you know, your ministry is to college, but you're making the call really cross-generationally, aren't you?
Absolutely. And that was one of the core things. When we started to put this together, Bob Bakke had come to our team and said, I really believe there's a move of God going on the college campuses. We, of course, agree. That's who God has called us to reach. And so when that happened, it just made sense to come together with all generations. And so you'll even see, if you see a poster, if you go to unitetwincities.com, you'll see on the website that this is meant for all generations. Because, again, it's not about the students going out to pray for other students, though that is a key component to it. It is about all generations. There is so much wisdom in the older generation that can be handed off to this younger generation, and the younger generation is actually thirsty for it. They really want that next that older generation to bring it down and to really just walk with them, and they're eager for that, and they're also eager to press into even the younger crowd as well, and have that, you know, 5, 6, 7 year old, or maybe the junior higher and the high schooler come alongside too.
And as you said, their incredible passion spurs on the older generation, because it's so easy to fall into a rote, you know, redundant way of following the Lord. I mean, it should never be that way, but it gets that way when you see college kids who are on fire. It just stirs your own passion up, doesn't it?
Oh my goodness, it really does. You know, we did a Unite tour this spring. We were actually on 7 different campuses throughout this region of the Upper Midwest. And when we did that, I was at one of them just south of here at one of the campuses. It was an amazing night. I watched these college students. They had multiple stations. It was prayer. It was worship. And then there was a mural where they could paint and worship that way. There was a prayer station. There was a communion station. And then there was this foot washing station. You had college students. And probably most powerful to me was to watch 18, 19-year-old college guys go grab their buddy, walk over to this basin, and wash each other's feet. That was powerful. There is no way in my college experience I would have thought of that.
And, right.
You know,
and the humility and the strength to do something like that. Wow, that's so powerful. Give us the vision for Pulse. I mean, the overall, you know, you've got these Unite events, but, you know, the vision, the thing that you're pointing at, is it just, it's to really reach college kids for Christ so that they can reach their generation. Is that how you'd sum it up? Or maybe I should let you do that.
Yeah, no, that's pretty close. I mean, the idea is we want to reach this next generation with the gospel of Jesus Christ in whatever way is necessary. So Unite is one component of that. We do major events on campuses where the students actually form a whole leadership team, put together trainings, prayer events, Unite events actually that would thread themselves through, and then we culminated in a major evangelistic outreach. We are an evangelistic organization. We exist to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nick's heart burns to share that message more and more, and it is our demographic to go after the college community, though. We truly believe that God is doing something significant on the campuses, so our vision is to do whatever we can to reach this next generation with the gospel of Jesus Christ. They really are one of the least church generations. One of our recent events was over in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. We had 4,000 people come out to fill their arena over there. And just recently we heard the story of this young girl named Kimmy. And Kimmy, she came to Christ at that event because some friends, they put her name on a card, and we've heard this story before. You put her name on a card. They prayed for her consistently, fervently. She comes. God transforms her life. And afterwards we get to talk to her, and she starts to say, you know, I will can count on one hand how many times I've been to church. And I came to this event, and she's, you know, she's telling about how God transformed her life. And she's doing it in a college student way. You know, she's like, holla, God touched my life. You know, and I'm like, holla, yeah. You know, so not a word that many of us are going to use, but this college student's all of a sudden on fire, transformed.
Wow.
And so we really are called to that generation. We do it through Unite. We do it through our major events. And so
it's excellent. I hear the urgency and the excitement in your voice, and I praise God that he raised you up for this generation for such a time, because it's a mission field that's ripe. And it is so amazing when they get a hold of it. Like you said, they run it so hard, and it's just a beautiful thing to see.
Yeah.
So give us up the Pulse's website.
Yeah, pulsemovement.com is where you can find information on Pulse.
Okay. And then for the event on Thursday, can people just show up, or how does that work?
Yeah, the event Thursday, the idea is that we really want these generations to connect. Therefore, there is There are no tickets. There is no fee. Just come. Bring your friends with you. Grab your neighbors, your coworkers, whoever it is. There will be an evangelistic outreach component to this, so the gospel will be briefly shared with the opportunity to respond. And it's just something where we want people to come. We want them to come and unite as one body, which I think is, you know, a part of the uniqueness of the worship team, mm-hmm. of the community, this region coming together. And so we would just ask that people would just come and join in.
And this is on the National Day of Prayer, correct?
It is on the National Day of Prayer.
Perfect day to be gathering together.
Absolutely.
And can they learn about the event at the Pulse website as well?
They can link to it from pulsemovement.com or go to unitetwincities.com, which is the official event website.
Okay. And it's in the Twin Cities, but it's a regional event. So if you can make the road trip, make it in, because I don't think you'll regret it. It's going to be a great night of worship, a great night of gathering together in the name of Jesus. Chris, thank you so much for your time today. It's been great.
Absolutely great to be with you.
Absolutely. We wish God's best blessings on this event coming up.
Thanks.
In a moment, we're going to have my friend on the air, Jamie Cabe. It's a young gal that I've been mentoring. And as you've probably heard me say before, I'm not always after the high-profile person for this show. I'm after the powerful person. Sometimes that's a high-profile person. Sometimes it's someone off the radar that you don't know, but God knows all about, and they're changing the world. And this is one such gal. I can't wait for you to meet her. You're going to love her just like I do. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back in just a moment.
If you made a pledge to support Faith Radio at our recent fundraiser, thanks for your generosity. You're part of a strategic team of friends who make possible the daily ministry of relevant Bible preaching and family-focused teaching to help connect faith to life. For your convenience, you can fulfill your pledge online by clicking on the support tab on our website, faithradionet.com. It's a safe, secure, and easy way to give and keep track of your support to Faith Radio. And you can be sure your gifts are given in the most efficient and effective way so that lives can be changed. Thanks for being part of the Faith Radio support team.
The long days of summer present the perfect opportunity for new experiences. This year, it can be the time you expand your potential and reach your goals. With Northwestern College's Focused Degree Completion Program, you can start finishing your undergraduate degree in June. Northwestern offers flexible and practical programs in business, psychology, communication, and more, designed to give you outstanding value for your time and investment. Visit nwc.edu. Northwestern College in St. Paul. Light the way.
Good afternoon, Susie Larson here. Thanks for tuning in today. This is Live the Promise, and we just had Chris McFarland from Pulse in to talk about a great event coming up this Thursday. Now I get to introduce you to someone that's very special to me. Her name is Jamie Cabe. I'm sort of mentoring her, and I say sort of because that was our original intent, but something to me altogether different has happened between us. This is a woman who deeply inspires me. She's someone who loves Jesus, and she's someone who's changing the world one day at a time. She's married to an amazing Christ-like man. She's a mother of two biological children, one adopted child, and three foster children. And if that's not enough, she's established the Forgotten Initiative, a ministry to mobilize the church to be the hands and feet of Christ to the forgotten in our community. And you're going to hear a little bit about that in just a moment, but you can learn more about the Forgotten Initiative at theforgotteninitiative.org. Welcome to the show, Jamie. Glad to have you with us today.
Hey, Susie. Thank you.
So good to have you. So we like to start out our show with Scripture, and you chose a passage. I wonder if you would share that passage with us.
Yeah, that's Isaiah 58:6-12. Are you wanting me to read that?
Yeah, if you have it. Oh, I lost. I have no. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm losing some sound here, but I don't have it in front of me, Jamie. Would
yeah,
you read it?
I have it. Basically, this is talking about the kind of fasting that the Lord calls us as Christians to do, and it says, "Free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. Share your food with the hungry and give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them and do not hide from relatives who need your help. Then your salvation will come like the dawn and your wounds will quickly heal." And I'm just going to jump forward to 10. "Feed the hungry and help those in trouble. Then your light will shine out from the darkness and the darkness around you will be as bright as noon. The Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you are dry and restoring your strength. You will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. Some of you will rebuild the deserted ruins of your cities. Then you will be known as a rebuilder of walls and a restorer of homes."
Beautiful passage. Tell us why that means so much to you.
the Lord has just taken me on this journey and just really opened my eyes to the hurting in the world and in our communities. And I just feel like when he brought this passage to me maybe a year or so ago, it's really brought in a lot of comfort to me. It's really challenged me. When it talks about the Lord guiding you continually, when we started the foster care journey, I depend on this verse so often. I cling to this verse that he is going to give me water when I am dry and restore my strength. And he has been doing that over and over and over.
You know, and that's such a good point. I mean, you and I have talked about this before, but when we follow Jesus, we get to places where we're so in over our head that we are desperate. But desperation isn't a bad thing, is it?
No, not at all. It definitely pulls us to him, and it when we come to the end of ourselves, that is when he just shows up in such incredible ways, and then we know that it's all about him. And
it's so true. Well, we often talk on this show about the whole idea of calling and of God's purpose for our lives. And initially, you felt that adoption was a significant part of your calling. In fact, you adopted a child, but even after that, you were ready to adopt more children, and God sort of redirected the plan. Give us a little backstory.
Yeah, we had adopted our son, Hudson, from Guatemala, and we were feeling led to adopt again. We tried to adopt from the United States, and we started that journey about 3 years ago. And in domestic adoption, you make up a profile of your picture of your family and stories, and we would show that to birth moms. They would be shown to birth moms, and we just assumed that we would get a healthy baby. That's what we were planning on. But after many, many birth moms looked at our profile and everyone chose another family or said no to us, we realized that God was doing something different. And it was a very painful time, roller coaster ride of a journey, but God really taught us a lot through that time.
I seem to remember you telling me a story where you thought that this one adoption was going to come through and then it didn't. I don't know if it was an 11th hour thing, but you kind of falling on the bed and crying.
Yes.
Can you share that story?
Yeah, that was kind of the beginning, I always say, of our roller coaster. It was in May of 2009, and I received a phone call from my sister. She told me about a baby that was born in an area hospital close to us, and this baby had been born with Down syndrome, and her mother abandoned her at birth, and so this baby needed a forever family. So she was just calling around to people to help have us pray that this forever family would be found, and I was like, yes, sure. And I remember walking up into my son's room, and that's just when the Lord spoke to me and said, maybe you're her forever family. And that scared me very, very much because we had never considered special needs. And it was a great fear of mine, a baby with Down syndrome. That was just something we had never thought about. But God really took our heart in a matter of 2 days, me and my husband, our family, and to the point where we were ready for it. We wanted to adopt this baby girl. And we told the agency we were on board, we were ready, but we found out there was another family who was pursuing this child as well. And so I remember that day I was waiting to find out whether this baby was going to be ours or not. I was scrubbing the stools and just trying to do whatever I could in my kitchen to keep my mind off of it. And I was sitting there doing my hair at one point, and I got the phone call and found out it was a no. And God had changed our hearts so much that we really wanted this little girl that it was just devastating. And I did. I fell on my bed, and I was just crying, and I called my husband. And I said, honey, I need you to come home. And he came home and was with me. And that really began the process of, you know, months of birth moms saying no, really, and God stretching us and opening our eyes until in November, a few months later, we were again waiting to hear from another birth mom. And this time we were on a vacation with our family. And I remember my husband coming in to, we were sitting at breakfast, and he came in with his phone. And on his phone, he got the email that said, she chose somebody else. Mm. And again, he walked me up to our hotel room, and he said, do you need me? And I said, I just want to be with Jesus right now. And so he walked back down, and again, I fell on my bed, and I just said, God, this is hard. I don't understand. This hurts. You know, give me some perspective. Give me some perspective. And that was when I just felt the Spirit say to me, Jamie, look back in May when you were hurt and you were disappointed. You called your husband to come first, and now look now, a few months later, you're hurting and you're disappointed, but you need me first. And I just thought, that's everything. You know, that was what that whole journey, I feel like, was for. I mean, part of it was just he took my relationship and completely transformed my life, and now he is my first and my everything.
And when I look at what you're doing now, you can see that was God's love to establish that in you, because that is your safe place, and he's a source. Your husband's a gift, but you've found Jesus to be your total source, haven't you?
Right, yes. definitely.
Wonderful. Well, we're going to be taking a break, but we're going to open up for calls. We want to hear from you. In fact, I posted the question today on Facebook, who are the forgotten in your community? I got some amazing answers. And who do you think? Who are the forgotten in your community? We want to hear from you. 877-933-2484. Again, 877-933-2484. Maybe you have an adoption story yourself. And this isn't just about adoption. This is going somewhere. Trust me. And although I know a lot of people have adopted, and you might have a testimony, but this is kind of an interesting turn here. But I want you to share your story with us, or maybe you have an insight on who you say are the forgotten. 877-933-2484. And some of the people online said on my Facebook page, divorced single parents. In every one of these entries, I saw a ministry, you know, divorced single parents, Muslims, people who've been convicted of crimes, those who live in apartment buildings and have very few friends, people that move into the area without family or friends, not only forgotten but virtually unknown, the area I live where there's illegal slaves and they're held against their will. Teens, the attacks on them are hard. Sometimes I think it's the healthy and the mature. Who helps them? They're always pouring out to others. Everyone, we just don't reach out. So those are a few. What about you? Who are the forgotten in your community? 877-933-2484. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, and we're talking about being the hands and feet of Christ in our community. Each of us have a different call, but we all have the same call in that we're called to reach out and be His hands and His feet. Taking a short break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. I have as my guest my friend Jamie Cabe, and she's a young mom. She's got two biological children, one adopted child, and three foster children. So before the break, Jamie, we were talking about your heartfelt pursuit to adopt, feeling that was God's heart. But in the process, the Lord really made himself big in your life, and he needed to do that because he was redirecting you. Talk about how he then redirected you.
Yeah, well, then after that time in November, it was a few weeks later, we were actually waiting on yet another birth mom to make a decision on us. And this time, I just felt a sense of expectation like this. I just felt that it was a time for action. And so we were waiting for this birth mom, and I remember coming home from getting groceries, and I was tired, and I was a little bit grumpy, and I put the groceries all over the floor, and I thought, I'm just going to check my email really quick. And when I checked my email, it was my agency, and we found out yet again that it was a no. And because I had felt such a sense of expectation, it crushed me even more, and I just, again, fell on my knees, and I just said, Lord, I don't understand this. I do not understand this, and give me perspective, because this hurts. And I just felt him very lovingly say, Jamie, it's not about you. And it was a very a loving, you know, understanding that. And then a few days later, I felt him say to me, Jamie, it's not about bringing a child into your family. It's about bringing a family to a child, bringing your family to a child. Mm-hmm. And during that time, the Lord really opened our eyes to foster care and the child who was waiting and the child right here in the United States who needs homes and the child in foster care.
And so how did you begin that process?
So really just through that period of time, as our eyes became open, we just started asking questions and researching. And at one point I was looking on the internet because you can find there's photo listing sites of children that are waiting, which means their parents' rights have already been terminated. So if they are not adopted, these kids will grow up to the age of 18 to 21. At age 21, they will age out of the system, and they will have nobody if they are not adopted. Mm-hmm. So these are children who need us. And I saw a sibling group of three children on the internet, and I just resonated with them. I connected with them, and I thought, these might be ours. So that was just one. Then I called my husband. And
that's a good move.
Yeah, I called my husband and I said, hey, I think I just found kids on the internet. And he said, oh, did you discipline them? I think our kids had been found out. We're
playing
on the internet. And I was like, no, 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 I think I found kids on the internet. And he said, oh, I thought you were talking about our kids. And I said, well, maybe they are.
Hmm.
And he came home and looked at them with me. And that really started a process of trying to adopt these three kids. These kids were from Arkansas, and we pursued them. We tried to adopt them. But again, that God was closing doors. So we basically, as those doors closed, we realized, you know, well, because of those kids, really, we went to take foster care classes, because in order to adopt from the United States a waiting child, you have to have these foster care classes. So we ended up taking these foster care classes, and through those, our eyes once again got open to the need of just fostering, to foster, to reunite families.
Okay, so you have a story. I know you wrote about it on your blog. You got a great blog, by the way. Well, we should give that address real quick. What's your blog address?
Yeah, that is www.lifewithapersonalgod.blogspot.com.
Lifewithapersonalgod.blogspot.com. Try to say that fast. Okay, so I remember a story, and I don't remember if this was before you took your foster kids in or not, or maybe it was during the process, but you noticed the social service office needed some help. Tell us that story.
Yes, that was really because of those three kids out of Arkansas. One day I was researching in Arkansas in the county that they lived in to see if I could find out any more about them, and I found a ministry called The Call out of Arkansas, and what they did was they went in, they showed a video of a child sitting in a state foster care office waiting while the foster caseworker called different families to see if they could find a home for this family, and everyone was saying no, 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 and I just started to realize that this is what happens to kids when they first come into care. They may wait sometimes for hours before a foster family is found. And so at this ministry, sometimes someone went in and gave snacks and toys to the children who were waiting. So that just got me thinking, and I decided one day, I picked up my three kids, and I said, we're going to DCFS, which is our state foster care office. And we walked in, and I just said, can I see the rooms where children come when they first come into care? Can I see those rooms? And they allowed me to go in there, and we walked in, and those rooms were just dirty and hard furniture and broken toys, and there was just nothing warm, nothing friendly, nothing that says you are welcome here, and we just thought this isn't right. And so I just started putting it out on Facebook and out in my blog and said, you know, let's give these rooms a makeover with the permission of the DCFS. And so through that, there was just people jumped in, and they were excited, and we were able to redo and make over those two visit rooms. And our whole desire was just to give these kids a place in the midst of their darkness that says you are welcome, a place that just was warm and comfortable.
And the before and after pictures are just stunning, because it's bright pictures. There's curtains. There's fresh toys. There's, I think, a new couch, isn't there?
Yeah, brand new couch that someone donated. A furniture company here in our town donated a couch, someone made curtains. I mean, it was a beautiful way to watch the body of Christ step in. I would put out on Facebook, hey, we need some toys, this brand, Melissa and Doug toys or whatever. And literally, I got doorbell rang later that day. Someone said, here's the toys. And
so were you just shocked by the response and the turnout when you put that request out?
Oh, yeah. And we raised like over $2,000 just by putting the word out. And people just were excited. And it was amazing.
So you have those before and after pictures on your blog as well. So is that the process by which you got these three children that you have in your home now?
No. Well, sort of. During that time, that was still our waiting season. We were taking those foster care classes. Like I said, during the foster care classes, our hearts once again changed. And so we were just at that point open to whatever the Lord had. And we had no clue. We just said, Lord, you know, we're open. And 2 days after we finished those classes, we received a call about two little brothers who needed a home, a foster home. And we knew that this was God's plan for us, because the door had really shut on those three kids in Arkansas. And so 2 days after we had those boys, and then 5 months later, their sister also needed a foster home. And so because God had just prepared us, prepared the way, we knew that we needed to say yes, and we did. And so we went from a family of having three children to having six children in a matter of 5 months. And was insane.
That's amazing, yeah. And so in the meantime, you tell stories when you speak on this topic. In fact, there's one that just gripped me so much about, I think it was a little boy whose mom was an alcoholic. Tell us that story.
Yeah, there's these children in foster care many times have have been rejected over and over and over, have been transferred from foster home to foster home over and over. And there was a little boy at a treatment facility in our town who was around 9 years old, and his mom had told him over and over, you know, I'm going to get you back. I'm going to get you back. I'm going to stop drinking. I'm going to do what I need to do to get you back. And he had heard it over and over until one day he was 9 years old, and she looked at him in the eyes and said, I promise you this time, I am going to get you back. I promise you I'm going to get you back. And then she said goodbye to him, and she walked out to her car that was already running and packed, and she drove to Las Vegas, and she never came home.
Mm, heart-wrenching.
So that's the kind of stuff these kids deal with over and over and over.
And so tell me more about what are the things that kids are dealing with that are in the foster system? Obviously, rejection, abandonment. What are some of the other things that come up for them?
Well, every child is taken into foster care because of abuse or neglect.
So there's already the trauma behind their life, right?
Right. I just talked to a gal this weekend. I spoke to some teens. Some of them have been in foster care. They all have had hard past. And I was talking to a teen, and she said she's been into two foster homes. And I asked her, when you first went into foster care, was it scary? Was it hard? And she said, well, not really, because we were living out of our car before that.
Mm.
I mean, this is just, you know, these kids have just gone through so much. I talk to them about the daddy, you know, the Heavenly Father, because so many of them don't have a daddy. A lot of the girls said, yeah, I don't even know, you know, where my birth dad is, or, you know, I've been abused by a stepdad, or it's just painful.
Yeah, and so they need people that have something to give to them that's greater than themselves even. So you launched something called the Forgotten Initiative, and it's new, but it's already, God's hand is on it, and it's exploding. So I'd love for you to tell us about that ministry.
Yeah, well, the Lord just has given me such a passion, and to help to see people being exactly who they are called to be, and to be who He has called me to be at the same time. And so when we did those projects, those visit room projects, it was just a beautiful thing to see the body of Christ in action. And He just had I'd like to describe it as these puzzle pieces floating around in my mind about ways to get the body of Christ engaged in serving these people, the forgotten. And really, He just saw fit about a month ago to bring all these puzzle pieces together into a concrete vision that we called the Forgotten Initiative. And basically, there are four facets to it. It's the children. Those are the 0 to 18 children who are in foster care. Those are the vulnerable adults, like our foster kids as parents, those who have already lost children in foster care, single moms who are, you know, at risk of losing their kids in foster care, and also those kids who age out at the age of 21. Those would be the vulnerable adults. Then there's also foster parents who are serving these kids, and agencies. And what the Forgotten Initiative wants to do is to really bring joy and purpose to this foster care community, those four groups of people. And there's so many ways to get involved. You can become mentors. You can be foster parent. You know, if you're on the sides of the children and the vulnerable adults, it's about getting in there and being the hands and feet directly to those people. But we know not everyone is called to be a foster parent. Not everyone is called to be a mentor, you know, more of an ongoing relationship. But there are people who are doing that, the foster parents. So the church, the body of Christ, can support the people who are already doing that as well by giving them meals, by, you know, sending them gift cards, just telling them we appreciate what you're doing. And those agencies are so underfunded. They're struggling, you know, and they're trying to serve these kids. So what if we as the body of Christ come around them and support the agencies doing visit room projects, you know, bringing gift cards to them so that they can help serve kids, whatever we can do. And the Lord is just bringing so many wonderful people around me to help me in this. It's so much beyond me. But he's bringing it together, and we're developing these programs and these ideas to a way to really mobilize the body of Christ.
And so how does that work? You've got a brand new website launched.
Yes.
And already, didn't you say you're doing some work? You've got some mobilization in a number of states already in a short month, I think you said.
Yeah, it's really been a month. And basically, we've gotten two churches involved in making backpacks for kids. When kids first come into care, a lot of times they have nothing. So we have two churches involved in really making backpacks for specific agencies to give out to kids. We have someone in Birmingham, Alabama, interested in serving the forgotten, starting this initiative, someone in Indiana, someone in Chicago and Peoria, and all of this just has happened within this month And we have two visit room projects going on in May and then one in June. So it's been incredible to watch God move this.
It's just amazing. So I'm going to give that website again because it's a brand new website, but right away it's set up to help you be mobilized in your community. And maybe that's all you need is just an idea. I'm going to go to my local social services office and offer to paint. I mean, really, I think that is just, that's got to be mind-boggling to people who don't know Jesus to see these people come and say, we're just here. You know, here are some backpacks. And we always talk about a cup of cold water given in Jesus' name, how what a big deal that is. And think of these kids in trauma who are receiving a backpack. I mean, it's just a powerful opportunity to do what Jesus would have us do. So the website, again, is theforgotteninitiative.org, theforgotteninitiative.org. Talk to us on a personal level, Jamie, of what were some of the tough adjustments, but even some of the God spots in adjusting to foster kids.
Yeah, well, when you start into foster care, you are starting to deal with caseworkers and social workers and licensing workers, and you are setting up new appointments, and often you're dealing with needs you've never dealt with. For us personally, some of our kids had some special needs that we had never dealt with, health issues that we had never dealt with. Those things are very challenging. Our foster daughter came with head lice. And that was extremely challenging for me. I thought I was going to lose my mind because she became our sixth child and also brought that. And so that was, we got some health issues that we hadn't expected. And then also just the emotional of you want to love these children like they're your own, but yet you have to remember that you are not their mom. And you need to tell them, like every week they visit their parents. So every week I'm saying, you get to go see your mommy and daddy today. You know, and so that's just a challenge because when there's times that I feel like I'm getting so attached and just wanting to, I want to just tell them, you know, I am your mommy forever and I will love you and you're safe, but I can't tell them that.
Wow.
And so that is the most difficult part of it for me is just that emotional, you know, letting them go, loving them, but knowing, holding them loosely.
Boy, if that's not the laying down your life. Boy, for another, that's amazing. So tell me about some of the God spots then in those intimate moments.
Yeah, well, the most beautiful blessing of being a foster parent has been to tell these kids about Jesus. And they didn't, when our little foster son, who was three at the time, first came, our seven-year-old daughter at the time said, do you know Jesus? And he just looked at her and stared blankly at her, you know, oh, I don't know. But now he'll sing Jesus Loves Me with everyone. You know, he knows Jesus, and we pray to Jesus every night. And our foster daughter is three. She was two when we first got her, but she's three now. And I remember the day that she declared me hers. She said, my Jamie, my mommy, my mama Jamie. You know, she calls me. And then I remember the day she declared my husband Clint hers. It was in church, and she put her arms around him, and she said, my scent, my scent. And then there was one night we were talking, because every night before bed I tell her, you are so special to mommy and you are so special to Jesus. And I remember that night that she said, my Jesus. I think that's why we're doing this. You know, we don't know how long they'll be in our home, but I'm believing that these moments, this Jesus is in their life and he's with them and they're going to know him. You know, they're going to know who he is.
So is there a possibility that you will have them? I mean, are there two kind of categories, crisis foster care and then long-term, or is there such thing as short-term foster care? How does that all work?
Yeah, like for us, we go to court on occasion every three or so months, and it's just basically how well the parents are doing. If the parents' rights get terminated, which isn't up to us, it's, you know, they have their own plan that they follow. If the parents' rights get terminated, then those children will need to be adopted, then they will be a waiting child. And we have already committed that we would adopt them if that happens. But if their rights do not get terminated and if the parents are doing well, then they will start making a transition plan for those children to go back home.
So somehow you have to dig deep and pour out your love and yet hold it loosely. I mean, I can't even imagine what that would be like. But we only have a few minutes left to take your calls, probably about 5-7 minutes. Maybe you've got a story of foster care or adoption, or maybe a whole different story altogether, how God compelled you to reach out into your community in just an organic grassroots way like Jamie has. I would love to know your story. 877-933-2484. Again, 877-933-2484. So this website, you've had people just kind of jumping in and offering their services. And you got your website designed. It's a wonderful website. I think he donated his services. Mm-hmm. But you kind of set it up so that it's kind of user-friendly for anybody, anywhere to get connected. Tell us what your goal is with that website and how that helps your whole initiative.
Yeah, and really we like to say this is phase one of the website. You know, things, as time goes on, we're going to get it to more going. But basically, as this grows, people, when they go to our homepage, they can enter in their zip code, and it will have if there's a need in their zip code, if there's something going already in their zip code, then those needs will be listed, and there will be a way that they can say, I want to help right now, and they can get involved. But there's also, if there's not a forgotten initiative or any opportunities to serve in their zip code, then they have the opportunity to start something, and we have some documents that can help. They can just download right off the website as just a model of how to get started and how we can help them. The neat thing about the Forgotten Initiative is Lifelong for Orphans is a ministry that is really dedicated to serving orphans across the seas, and they also provide matching grants. Well, Lifelong for Orphans is now, we're part of that now. My dad is actually the founder of Lifelong for Orphans, and so because of that, they are already a 501c. They have we can run all of our funds through Lifelong. So basically, if someone would want to do a visit room project, any donations can go to Lifelong in the name of the Forgotten Initiative, their visit room. And so anyone gives donations can be tax deductible. Mm. So it's just a neat infrastructure we have set up already.
Yeah. Well, I want to know this. What is your humanly impossible vision for this ministry?
Yes, our vision is just that the forgotten will be served in every community across the nation.
Wow, that's a big, hairy, audacious vision. I love it.
That's my vision.
That's
yes.
Wonderful. And I think you're the gal that God's going to use to make that happen. That's just so wonderful. Talk to us about how your own children adjusted to your three foster kids.
Yes, that's been a neat thing to watch. We've watched them really come around them and embrace them. Our kids are young. Our kids are 8, 6, and 4, and then our foster kiddos are 4, 3, and 1. And so they've really come around and just loved on them. But there's also been times that our kids have said, we want it to go back to just the five of us. And we understand that. You know, there's times we've said, why are we doing this? You know, it's not easy. But it's been a beautiful thing to watch. Our oldest, who's 8 now, she wants to do a fundraiser for orphans, and she's taken a poster of, you know, please help orphans to school, and read a book about orphans that she wrote, you know, to her classmate. And our 6-year-old just recently made up note cards that said, you need to help orphans so much, and she wanted to pass them around the neighborhood. And we said no, but she took them to church without asking and just passed them out randomly to people.
She sounds like someone else I know.
And our son, who we did adopt, but he's out there saying, you know, why do some kids not have mommies and daddies? And he prays for orphans all the time. I mean, it has just been beautiful to watch them. Their hearts have been changed and touched.
I mean, that is the truth, that you brought a family to these children, and now the DNA, the spiritual DNA of your kids is forever altered, mm-hmm. You know? And when I read some of these, the biographies of the greats who've gone before us, their parents were the ones who took initiative and did the out-of-the-box thing because of their convictions, and it did something. Whether as a child they liked it or not, or appreciated the inconvenience or not, mm-hmm. It changed how they looked at the world. And so I think that is so powerful. Powerful that you're engaging your whole family in this call. Really a powerful thing. Well, how about if someone's listening today who wants to get involved with the Forgotten Initiative in their community, but there's nothing going on in their community? How can they leverage your website and be part of what you're doing?
Yes, if they go to our website, we also have a Facebook page up that they could go check out also, which is just facebook.com/Forgotten Initiative. But if they go to our website and click under, there's a sidebar that says the Forgotten, and then you'll click on agencies under there. There will be a link that they can, or documents, it says where to start. And they can download that. And that really kind of gives them a step-by-step process of a great way to start. And what we always tell people, the best place to start, well, number one is prayer, is just getting people together who are going to pray for the forgotten. But then also to walk into your local state agency and just say, what can we do? What can we do for you? How can we serve you? Can we see those visit rooms? You know, and just come in or bring in 10 boxes of diapers. You know, these agencies are just, they are hungry for this kind of stuff because they have these needs and they don't know where to go. And so if you just walk in and just say, hey, I'm here and I want to serve, But on that, on those links, we'll kind of give you even a more clear picture of how to do that.
So when you first walked into your agency, you were well received? There wasn't any hint of, you know?
Yeah, you know what? When I walked into our state agency, it was very well received. But there are four agencies in our town, and I went to the fourth one just not even all that long ago. And I definitely sensed from them just a little, like, skeptical, like, what are you doing? Who are you? But the next time I walked in, I brought in 15 boxes of diapers.
Hmm.
And they
diapers
loved
speak.
Me. They loved me. They let me through their locked door, and I loaded up the, you know, the boxes, walked into the office and dropped off all the diapers. And I just thought, okay, I made it through the locked door, and now I'm in. And when I left, they smiled, and they said, there are going to be crowns in your, or jewels in your crown. I mean, it was just like they were all smiles. They were uplifted. And that is what Isaiah 58 talks about, you know, uplifting. You know, lighten the burden of those who work for you. That's what we want to do. We want to lighten their burden.
And restores. You know, you're a restorer. I mean,
right.
I just think of these children who will never know where those backpacks came from, but it
right.
meant something to them in their time of crisis and trauma, and how precious the children are to the Lord. Well, Jamie, if someone wanted you to come and speak about the Forgotten Initiative, about foster care, all the different topics that you've got, a number of great topics, how would they contact you?
Yes, they could. Well, we have our info@theforgotteninitiative.org.
And that's your email?
That would go to our, we have like our volunteer coordinator. Any emails could definitely go through there, or they could email me directly at jamie@theforgotteninitiative.org, and it's J-A-M-I.
Okay. And so if they want you to come speak, Jamie at the Forgotten Initiative. All right. Jamie, this has been great. Well, we want to wrap up, if we could, just having you pray for the forgotten in our communities, just to pray for their little spirits and souls, and even for the people that we would be mobilized to do just what God is calling us to do.
Yeah, dear Jesus, we love you so much, and we know that your heart is for those who are broken, those who are hurting, those who are vulnerable, and your heart is for all of us, and I just pray that you will touch lives today, that you will inspire others to go out and just look and find the need, look at who is hurting, and that they will go out and they will serve. I pray that you will just lead us each to be exactly who you want us to be. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Jamie, so proud of you, and I love being connected with you. I love seeing what God is doing. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you, Susie. I love you so much.
It's been good being with you. Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson, and you can find a podcast of this interview up on our website at faithradionet.com. I want to remind you of two very special days this week. We've got great shows all week long, but Wednesday is our Prayer and Praise Day, and that's when we want to hear from you. We want to hear your prayer requests. We're going to pray on the air standing with you. We want to hear your praise reports, what God is doing. Plus, you'll get to hear a couple of interviews, one short one with Michael W. Smith, another one with Dr. Charles Stanley. And then on Friday, in honor of Mother's Day, we're going to have Kendra Smiley on the air, and together she and I are going to take your mom's stories, and it's one of those great giveaways days. So I'm going to have a couple of gift baskets with some fun foo-foo stuff, stuff only girls would like, but guys, you can call in too, but then you give the gift to, you know, your mom or your wife. And so we want to hear fun, funny, hilarious kids stories, heartfelt mom stories. That's going to be a day of just celebrating moms, celebrating kids, and the whole idea of motherhood. So be sure to get ready for that. And we're going to choose like the best two stories on Friday, and we'll announce the winners on the air on Friday. So it'll be a really fun day. We expect to laugh, and we probably will cry. At least I know Tim will cry. I might cry. But anyway, I want you to tune in tomorrow. My guest is Dr. David Anderson. He's the author of the book, I For Grace You, Doing Good to Those Who Have Hurt You. You know, Jesus calls us to love our enemies and actually to do good to those who hate us. How do you walk that out in a practical way? That's what we're going to talk about tomorrow. The book, I For Grace You, Doing Good to Those Who've Hurt You. That should be an interesting show. I want you to tune in. We'll have some copies to give away as well. We're going to talk about that, so do join us. That's tomorrow, 3 to 4 o'clock on the Same Faith Radio Network. Well, guess what? You know what I'm going to say, don't you? The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong, and He's the one who'll keep you strong to the end. I pray God will open your eyes and your heart to those who are overlooked in our community, and there's something He's called each of us to do, to be the hands and feet. May we respond and step out in faith. God bless your day. We'll be back again tomorrow.